Welcome to Attention to Detail, the classical music listening guide, where we give you the tools to understand, appreciate, and enjoy listening to classical music. Welcome back to Attention to Detail. This is Hannah Ruffett, and I'm joined here again with Jacob Joyce. Hey, Jacob, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. We're here recording at the Hilbert Circle Theater in the midst of preparing for concerts this weekend. Jacob, what are you most excited for about this weekend's concerts?
Well, this weekend I'm off from actually conducting. I'm just assisting and covering this one, which is a nice little break. It's not really a break because I still have to prepare, but it's a very cool program. We're playing a piece by Barber, who's an American composer, a piece by Elgar, who's a British composer, a piece by Kodály, who's a Hungarian composer. So a lot of variety, not necessarily countries or composers that people must always associate with the classical tradition, but it should be fun for me. It should be fun for the audience. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. So today on the pod, we're picking up where we left off in the last episode. And as a refresher, over the three episodes that we've done thus far, in the first episode, Jacob and I talked about listening attentively and really engaging that artistic side of our ears and minds while listening. And in the second, assigning ideas a word, a signifier. And then in the third, gathering ideas. So if any of that is at all fuzzy, do feel free to go back and listen again if you need. But today, Jacob and I are set to talk about using and adding to these techniques as we move outward. So Jacob, how do we do this?
So as we move outward, I want to give a quick reminder of why we actually are doing these techniques. The ones that Hannah just mentioned are in the previous episodes and the one that we'll learn today. I don't imagine that our listeners will necessarily get a lot of meaning or understanding or enjoyment directly from the techniques that we're doing. But instead, these are meant to build a listening process for everyone, their own kind of individualistic listening process that works for them and that gets them to that point where they feel like they understand the music better, feel more confident. I don't imagine that people find an enormous amount of profound meaning in giving a musical idea a color or grouping two musical ideas as similar or different. Although, you know, if that's meaningful, then all the better. But that's to help make the process of listening more tangible, more understandable. And so I think that's just important to keep in mind, is that as we refine these techniques, there's no correct answer here. Whatever comes to mind for you, the listener, is the correct answer. And you, the listener, have to develop your own unique listening practice that works for you. And so don't ever concern yourself with, am I applying these techniques right? Am I doing this properly? Am I not doing this properly? This is just meant as a way to make the process of listening more tangible, more familiar. And if you're listening attentively, if you're trying to hear ideas, if you're trying to group, that's fantastic. And you will naturally develop your own listening practice that will work for you, because you're doing it, of course. You're doing the development process. So today, let's get onto the meat and potatoes of today. As we move outwards, we need to try as best as we can to keep hearing ideas and clumping those ideas, as we talked about in the second and third podcasts. But as we move larger and larger, we're also going to strip away a little bit of that style of hearing in small ideas. And as we move out, we're going to be on the lookout for things that I like to call landmark points. Landmark points are going to be spots in the music where you really clearly hear that a thread of ideas changes to something very different. And so if we're grouping, this may be at the end of a big grouping. This may be at the end of a collection of several groupings, but it's going to be at a point where you really feel like the music changes to something new. And if we're listening on this kind of larger scale, we could give each spot between a landmark point a similar adjective, food, color, what have you, as we did our minuscule ideas. Now, that's not the technique that we're doing today. That's just something that people can do if they want. But I mention that because, like I said, we're going to be stripping away a little bit of the minutia of the process that we introduced in hearing ideas and grouping those ideas. But it's important that we don't lose our attention to detail, you know, the name of our podcast. That's why we actually started smaller first. All of these larger sections that we start trying to hear of music as we move out to larger sections, to movements of music, to full symphonies, they're made up of many small musical ideas. And so the closer we're listening, the closer we will understand the intricacies of the big sections that we're hearing, how they relate, and stuff like that. So it's going to be very important that we kind of have that duality of mind, that we, as we listen bigger and bigger, we're not going to be able to hear every idea all the time. But it's also good, to the extent that we can, to always maintain that attention to detail, to really try to hear as much as we can, and to catch as much detail as we can.
Great. So can we try hearing some landmark points?
Yeah, I'll play a clip of music, a little longer clip here than we're used to listening to, because of course we're moving outwards today. But try to hear these landmark points where you feel like it really, the music makes a big change to something totally different, and then we will come back and talk about it. So Hannah, I actually noticed you were writing some stuff down during that. That's actually a great idea, I think, for our listeners, something that may help, especially as we move out into longer and longer clips. So what were you writing down? Did you find any of those landmark points?
Yeah, I definitely found three in the beginning. And then honestly, I felt, first of all, distracted by Beethoven 1. It's so good. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
That I sort of just got lost in the rest of the movement, but from the landmarks that I was able to hear in the beginning, it's very similar for like the first few seconds, and then it's back and forth, and then it gets interrupted by a loud ba-da-bum. And then that goes off into a different direction. So that loudness was a landmark for me.
Okay.
And then that following section after that goes on for a bit, and then it, for me, there's another landmark where woodwinds take over.
Yeah, exactly.
And they go in another direction.
There's an actual pause.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then after that, I got a little bit distracted because it's so good.
Yeah, well, that is definitely one of the challenges in listening on a more macro level and trying this mapping technique, is that it requires sustained attention more than the hearing ideas technique, or it's hard to maintain the attention for a long stretch of time, which is why I actually think if it helps, writing something down is actually a fantastic idea.
I wrote down what did I write down? Loud, but a bum. Like, that's the one I wrote down.
That's a great thing to write down. Anything that we can do to note these ideas. So if it will help you, our listeners, let's do this clip once more, and I will guide us through as we're listening. I'll just talk a little bit over the clip. I'm sorry to disturb the music, but I'll give my sense of where the landmark points are. So this to me sounds all very similar. I don't think we've come to a big spot yet. Even this, louder, but kind of same. Here is my first landmark point. We're on a very different, kind of prideful. It still is kind of prideful for me. It's building to something, but nothing so big yet until here. Totally new character, right? Very lyrical. That's my second landmark point. Now this is a lot of the similar style music. Here, totally different character, right? A little more excited. That's my third one. There's my fourth one. Much quieter, different color of sound. There's my next one. Back to that kind of proud sound. And there's my last one. This sounds very conclusory, like we're ending something. And we are, in fact, ending something because we go right back to the beginning here. So I hope that was maybe helpful to get a sense of where I hear these landmark points, my sense of kind of the geography or construction of the piece. Maybe it's validating for some of our listeners if my landmark points seem to line up somewhat closely with what you're hearing. If not, that's not a problem either. This is just my personal interpretation of how this piece is built. But if it's helpful, by all means, go back, listen to that a couple of times if you want to feel a better grasp of where those landmark points actually fall. And these landmark points are going to bring us to the technique that we're going to talk about today, the main technique on this podcast, which is something called mapping, which is going to be a way of visualizing the geography or the layout, the form of a piece.
Okay, so what do you mean by mapping? How do you suggest that listeners map?
Yeah, mapping is going to be a challenging one to describe to every single one of our listeners because it's really going to be very individual to our listeners' own artistic minds, their own psychologies. Our listeners, Hannah, you will know yourself better than I know you, and you'll know if you're a visual learner, if you're an oral learner, how you process music, and all of that is going to come into play as we map. But the goal of mapping is to try to visualize or make tangible the form of a piece with those landmark points as our bases for where the piece is going and coming from. So when we create this mental map, image, timeline of a piece, we want to have those landmark points as our guideposts. And then from those landmark points, we really want to find out how we arrive at those landmark points, how we come away from them. And so you can maybe almost imagine it like, you know, if you're doing a 12-stop trip on Google Maps, you have the actual locations that you're going to, but the piece is the route that you take to each one of those stops. So there are several ways that we can do this. We can talk about it a little bit because it really depends on our listeners. If I asked you to, for yourself, and I'm putting you on the spot, but how do you think you would map something like this?
Yeah, so good question. I mean, we've talked in the last three episodes before today that I typically, when I listen to music, I see visual scenes that are evoked from the music itself. So I'll create basically stories that are going on that are almost sort of like dreamlike in a way. Mm-hmm. So I guess, Jacob, I'm so totally game to do this. My question is, how do I connect all of those different ideas into one piece? Because I think for Beethoven 1, I couldn't help but think that in my initial listen, because that's just how my mind sort of works. So how do you suggest for me to try to connect all of those things? Do I need to be technically listening to the piece too and then picking out those ideas and then merging them all together?
Right, so
that sounds a little exhausting.
Yeah, it can be a challenging process, but this is why I want us to develop our own process for doing this. And one thing I would suggest to you and to our listeners is that part of what we're going to need to do when we try to map out a piece is realize that we've mentioned this before on the podcast, that music is incredibly abstract. It's more abstract than literature, than visual art. And if we try to understand music too much in very, very tangible story-like terms, we may face some challenges. Because like you said, it might seem a little bit dreamlike, almost schizophrenic,
yeah.
the changing of... Because you'll have one story, then it'll be a completely different story. And so I think our listeners, the mapping technique is going to be slightly different from creating a narrative story.
Okay.
Because a narrative, it's going to be very hard if we're actually listening attentively and hearing the piece for what it is to create one story. Because really, most classical music is bigger than that. It's really a collection of stories.
Yeah.
And so let me suggest a few possibilities for how to map. Have you ever heard of the memory technique, which is called Memory Palace? Have you ever?
No, I haven't.
No, okay. So there's this technique. It's a technique for memorizing things. I know often conductors use this to memorize pieces if they learn in this style. I don't, but many people do. It's where you take a familiar geographical space, like your house, and you put the music, or if you're memorizing, let's say, a telephone number, you put the digits of the telephone number in various places in the house, and then you imagine yourself walking through the house, and that's how you memorize. So you walk in the door, and there's a 7, and
okay.
Then you walk. So it can be a very powerful memory technique, but if we're also listening to music, this is one way that we could visualize it as when we get to each landmark point, we enter a new room in this palace that we're creating. And this room might have new walls. It might have new furniture. We can be as creative as we want with it. But we're building this structure that's the entire piece. And each landmark point marks a part of that structure.
Gotcha.
We could also think about it in a very two-dimensional way of a timeline. I mentioned this map, an actual map of Google Mapsing going from place to place. We could imagine what a drive would look like in this specific, we're driving and we're in the desert.
Okay.
And now suddenly we're in, and of course that's going to be like this story idea that's going to be very fragmented because
yeah.
we might be in the desert, suddenly we're in a blizzard. So
yeah.
You know, but there's, try to find a way of visualizing a piece without ascribing it a very specific story, but trying instead to create some sort of space in your mind that the piece can fill so we can get a sense of the structure. So I think maybe, do you want to try it with the palace idea?
Sure. Where,
okay, so let's do Beethoven 1, this clip that we've heard twice now, once more. And we're going to imagine just in this short clip that we're hearing that we're building... You're going to build your own mental palace for us.
Very excited.
And at each landmark point, will enter a new room of the palace, and this room will have its own unique character. And so I'll play the clip once more, and then we'll go through the rooms and describe the character of each of these rooms. Sound good?
Sure.
So we're going to call that our first room.
Yep.
First, maybe give me, before you tell me about the room, you actually describe the room, give me like an adjective, color, something that you feel about that clip or a couple based on the ideas in that clip.
Oh, it for me, it feels so sneaky. It like sneaks up on you and goes back and then sneaks up on you and goes back. So I'm seeing like a teal color.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
I think that might be because I already know the room that I am looking at.
Okay.
And the
yeah.
carpeting in that room is teal.
Nice. Okay.
But it really fits. Like, I feel really solid with my mental palace.
I'm good.
Okay.
Teal works. I didn't know teal was a sneaky color, but that's good.
It's like a cool sneaky. Like, I'm seeing like very like Tom and Jerry. They're like like jumping over a piano and being sneaky. Like,
well, so in that vein, describe for us your room.
Yeah, so I it gets very personal for me. I'm seeing my grandparents, their house, and the staircase at the main entrance of their house, and just personally remembering playing with all of my cousins on those stairs, and then us sneaking up and down those stairs together.
Nice.
So, yep.
Excellent. Good, good, good. I like that. Okay, so here's the next room. Probably going to be very different.
Okay.
So you mentioned there was a staircase in the previous room. Maybe we walked up the stairs.
Yep.
What's our next room?
We landed at the top of the stairs.
Uh-huh.
And it felt really, it felt fitting for me for this part of the piece. Like, it came up to this next level.
Uh-huh.
And it was really grand, and I'm still at my grandparents' house. Am I allowed to, like, change locations? Like, it can...
Yeah, of course. It also...
Am I stuck in this house?
Well... we're building one house.
Okay.
But the rooms can be vastly different. You could have walked into a massive ballroom.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still in this house, and you can see out the windows, and it's really grand outside, and it's really vast. And I think that really fits for what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Okay, here's the next room. What do you think about that one?
So we've turned into a room,
mm-hmm.
not even in the house. So
yeah.
I've just gone into my own tangent.
Great.
Everything in the room is miniature. So it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. Like, it's all very small.
I love that.
Furniture is really tiny and petite, and that's the room for this idea.
Good.
Yes.
We went through a shrink door.
Yes.
And everything
yep.
is. I like that.
Okay.
That's very good. Okay, next one. That was a faster one.
That was really fast.
Small room. What would you give that one?
I almost thought that, like, we grew up again. So, like, we grew large. So we exited the room, and then we're in this huge room that's maybe even too tall for us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is a very advanced technological house.
Yeah.
We're changing size in the middle. Excellent, excellent. Okay, next one. Huh. How about that one?
So we've moved on to another room, but now the ceiling is slanting downward as you walk through. Actually, it's a hallway. Uh-huh. And you're walking through the hallway, and the ceiling is just coming in on you from above. But then all of a sudden, it starts raising as you walk through.
So you
and then, yes, so you're walking through a tunnel, and the ceiling is coming down on you, and then all of a sudden... I wasn't technically listening because it was so short, but it changes in there,
yeah.
And then it starts the ceiling starts raising on you,
yeah.
And then by the end, it's so tall.
Well, that's good. I mean, part of the point of this, we'll do the last room in one sec, but the part of the point of this is that you don't need to be technically listening. It's all the better if you catch that. The music got significantly louder towards the end of the clip,
yeah.
And it really grew. But you caught that anyways. You didn't even need to be able to say that. You saw that in your room. So excellent. We're starting to construct a house here.
Yep.
We can kind of even visualize it. So here's
Strange
the last
house.
One. So we could argue over whether that's one or two rooms. There's kind of a small landmark point potentially in there, and that's totally up to the listener's discretion. Did you have a room for that one?
Yeah, we've walked into a large, vast dining room that's very fancy,
uh-huh.
And it's very busy in that room. It's inhabited by lots of people, maybe like caterers, and they've come in and have got lots of spinning plates, and then. I think I almost like picked up on the second room aspect,
yeah.
Almost. It changed a little bit for me. Then I saw like tiltingness in that room. So as if like the room were tilting of some sort, which...
Earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah, an earthquake was happening. So
nice,
it was busy. It was a busy room.
Great. You're fantastic at this.
I don't know about that.
No, really. And you can start... I think it's important though to in doing this technique, now that we look back at that journey that we travel through those rooms, we have a kind of mental geographical layout of the beginning of this piece.
Okay.
We walked up the stairs, we came into that big room, we went into the shrunk room,
yeah.
Came back out into the room that was too big for us, we walked down that narrow hallway, then we came into the dining room. It's a way of kind of making the form of this entire piece tangible. And so then when we do that, we'll start grasping the structure of these pieces.
Excellent. I think I might be able to go out and do a little bit of mapping on my own, which is really exciting.
I bet you can.
So. So since this is the end of our series on fundamentals, can you give listeners just a quick review of everything that we've gone over thus far and what we can do going on from here?
Yeah. So if we remember from the previous few podcast episodes, really the most important thing that we're trying to do here is to listen attentively to music, really whether it be classical music or any other kind of music, but to activate the senses, try to hear the details of what we're actually listening to, and that will go a long way to informing our listening. And then we introduce three techniques: hearing musical ideas, grouping those ideas, and then mapping them to try to understand the structure, form of the piece that we're listening to. And it will be important as our listeners start building their own unique listening practice to practice these things. That's how you develop a practice, is through practice. And I would recommend trying both to do these things on their own and then also trying to combine them, because they're all very challenging skills to build. And so when you're starting, take some time just to try to hear ideas. Take some time just to try to hear groups, their similarities and their differences. Take some time just to try to map. As we've mentioned a little bit on this episode, mapping might require a little bit of suspension of trying to hear individual ideas. So try to practice some of these things just by themselves, and then try to combine them. So try to hear some ideas and group some of those ideas. Try to group a little bit and map a little bit. And as you do this, I think you'll start to feel more and more comfortable, more and more confident in your own listening practice, whatever shape it ends up taking, and doing these techniques in harmony where they're all serving each other.
Nice. So this, like I said, this is the end of our series on fundamentals, but we've got lots more in store. Jacob, could you give listeners just a little taste of what's going to be next for us?
Yeah, the next episode that we'll do here is going to be we're going to get some of our friends at the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, and we'll have them practice these techniques themselves, and we'll listen to a symphony. We won't reveal yet what the symphony is going to be, but we'll actually listen to, I'm not sure if we'll do a full symphony, but at least a movement of a symphony together, and we'll apply some of these techniques. And I think that will be very helpful for our listeners to hear how different people choose to apply these techniques, how varied this can be. And hopefully it'll also be fun. We'll get to listen to some great music. And then from there, we'll go in every other direction imaginable. So I'm looking forward to it.
Great. I'm so excited.
Excellent. See you soon. For more information about this podcast, you can find us at attentiontodetailpod.com, where you'll find a list of techniques presented in these episodes and a 2-week program for starting your own listening practice. You can also find us on all of your favorite social media channels. We encourage you to follow us, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you enjoy the show, please give us a rating. We hope to see you soon at a concert.